A Haynes hunter bags one of the biggest moose taken in the area hunt in years, and a local Tlingit artist is set to be featured in a national exhibit. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Haynes police went on a car chase on Saturday afternoon when an allegedly intoxicated man refused to stop for police lights and a siren on the Haynes Highway. Officer Ken Vance Bronson says Haynes resident Arthur Solberg, age 50, was first reported Saturday for being aggressive and intoxicated in front of a bar on Main Street. Police warned Solberg not to drive while intoxicated. Then, about an hour later, a caller reported he was hit and run off the road by a red pickup truck on the Haynes Highway that sped away after the collision. Vance Bronson says he pursued the car northbound on the highway for about 4 miles at about 75 to 80 miles an hour. He says Solberg was the driver of the red pickup and that he nearly collided with an oncoming truck before pulling over for police. Solberg was charged for the hit and run, failure to stop for police, driving with a revoked license, driving while intoxicated, and reckless driving. Failure to stop for police is a Class C felony. The other charges are misdemeanors. Solberg was arraigned in court on Sunday. His preliminary hearing is scheduled for September 30th. Meanwhile, he's being held in Haynes Rural Jail Facility on $7,500 bail. His truck was impounded. The first week of moose hunting season in Haynes has resulted in a slightly above average harvest so far, according to Alaska Fish and Game biologists. 17 moose have been turned in by hunters. That includes 9 three-brow tine, 3 spike fork, 4 50-plus inch, and 1 sublegal moose. One of those moose was especially large. Hunter Marty Smith had to take a break from skinning his 61 and a quarter inch rack moose to talk to me.
About 8:30 this morning, I guess, climbed up in a tree and sat there and hadn't seen any bulls at all, and heard a grunt, and started grunting, and pretty soon called the moose in, and then he hid behind a tree, and then he started walking away, and while he was walking away, I grunted a couple really loud grunts at him and finally got him to turn for a split second and put one right behind his ear, and down he went.
Smith says it all happened in about 3 minutes. He says he couldn't tell 100% if the moose was legal because the brush was about 10 feet tall.
Once we stuck the tape on it and seen it was over 61, it was like, oh my God, that's a huge bull.
Smith says he's been hunting for about 40 years, since he was 5 years old with his dad. And this is the biggest moose he's gotten.
It was one of the happier, better days of my life. I mean, just once in your life, it's nice to get a really, really nice rack. And this moose is very symmetrical. He's in the prime of his life. He'll provide a lot of meat for us, but just a very beautiful moose.
Smith says he'll be able to feed more than just his family with the moose, and the antlers he plans to eventually display on the side of his house. Fish and Game Assistant Area Management Wildlife Biologist Carl Koch says Smith isn't the only happy hunter he's seen this season.
They're seeing quite a few moose, a decent number of younger animals, decent number of cows. Some folks are saying that they're seeing cows with twins, which is really good. That's a sign of the cow is in good health. They don't have two twins when the nutritional condition is poor, so probably they're in good nutritional condition, which is what we would expect with such a mild winter.
Koch says the first week of the season is usually when 50 to 60% of the harvest happens. He says mild winter weather makes for a larger number of moose in the area. Koch says hunters also had the fortune of decent weather conditions during the first weekend of the harvest. He says some hunters scout out the moose they want weeks before the season begins, and for many, it's a family event.
Grandfathers and sons and grandsons hunt the same areas sometimes.
For the one sublegal moose that was turned in, Koch says in that case, the hunter thought it was a three-brow tine when it wasn't. The meat from that moose is being donated to Haynes School Food Services to be served in student lunches. Koch says he expects the harvest to slow down now that the first week is over. The management goal for the Haines area, Unit 1D, is 25 moose. Koch says last year the end count was 22, and the highest it's been is 30. KHNS will continue with our daily moose count updates through the end of the hunting season, which is set for October 7th. In Haines, I'm Emily Files. A local Tlingit artist will be featured in a national art exhibition that takes an in-depth look at people in small communities and their relationships with water. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Tlingit master carver Wayne Price has a cherished relationship with the ocean and the tides that runs deeper than most. Price carves dugout canoes, and he says the traditional art is dying.
Our whole way of living has been on the water and with the tides, and the dugout canoes have been a big part of that all through 10,000 years of history. And we're in a desperate time right now trying to keep that art alive.
Last week in Haines, the ocean was Price's stage. He took one of his dugout canoes on the water as part of a project for the Smithsonian Institution's Museum on Main Street. The project is called Waterways and showcases people from across the country who have a special and intimate relationship with water. Tiffany Chang is the curatorial assistant and media producer for the Museum on Main Street. She says Price was an obvious choice for the project.
I wanted to meet him and talk to him about the craft of dugout canoes and the tradition and the connection, the cultural connection to the water here in Alaska.
Chang says the project is a window into people's lives and a reflection of what water means to them.
And the goal is not for us to tell the story, it's for them to say it for themselves. So that's our goal for coming out and meeting people like Wayne and hearing from them directly instead of just text on a wall or out of a book.
Chang says the project is not a documentary. Besides Price, it will include a crabber in Louisiana, a shrimp boat captain in Mississippi, and a conservationist who works in the Florida Everglades. Chang found Price through the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and came to Haines for a couple of days last week to film Price and friends. Once she arrived in Haines, Chang and her cameraman hopped on a local fishing boat to get some shots of Price and his crew paddling one of his prized canoes. Back at Price's studio, Chang learned about his carving and more about the Tlingit culture. Price walked her through the process, describing a maze of pencil lines on the floor he uses as a precise method of measuring during the boat building process.
It has lines going all along that are measured, and each stick represents 6 inches, so you put two of them together, it means a foot. And this is a scaled model of a northern dugout canoe. And I had to do this half mile.
Chang was also treated to a private singing and drumming performance by Price, Ted Hart, and Zachary James. For Price, sharing his passion comes easily. He enjoys teaching young people in the region how to carve and the significance of dugout canoes. And he says taking part in the Waterways project is another good way to spread the word about what he refers to as an endangered art. He says the canoes are one more way to foster traditional values.
Well, the Tlingit people come from the water. They're people of the tide. We've always said when the tide goes out, it's time to go to eat. We gather all our food from the beach or the woods inside the beach.
Price says the fact that interest in this specialized craft is waning is simply a sign of the times. But local young people are getting more involved these days, he says, and taking an interest in learning the trade.
I think the art for making a dugout canoe and making it work is something that is in desperate need of being kept alive, and we want to do what we can to keep it going. And I have young people now that are ordering their tools and they're making their ads so that they can learn how to make a dugout.
The Waterways exhibition will launch in May 2016 in Florida, Idaho, and Illinois first. The project will then travel to various small towns across the U.S. for 6 years. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.